This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
If all of baseball is cheating, is anybody really cheating at all? 877-881-1053. We asked Mike Bassick the same question. Mike Bassick joins us from the G-Bag Nation today, and he is dressed in a button-up shirt. He's got slacks on. He's got
crisp
a tie.
White tee.
It's a crisp white tee. His aviators. Classic. Absolutely classic stuff there, Mike.
Well, I have a little dinner to go tonight after work. There's the Bishop Dunn where my daughter goes to school, and maybe my boys will go to school, are having a big fundraising dinner that I will be a part of tonight.
To help their football team get good again?
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay.
You ever thought about
it
becoming...
It costs money to buy a to win a championship.
Yeah, Rangers, are you listening?
Oh, man, hopefully the Rangers are getting ready to spend a lot of money. All right, we'll get into some of the Hall of Fame ballot in just a moment. But Mike, the world of baseball cheating is, especially with the Astros, is eye-opening.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome because I thought that TNT knew drama, but it turns out that MLB knows drama because this is the most dramatic story I've ever seen, man.
I think Gavin Dawson was asking in the first 24 hours of this story hitting The Athletic when it was found out that, yes, they did have a camera in center field concentrated on the catcher, and it was just behind the dugout where they could relay the signs of fastball, breaking ball, changeup, stuff like that. It didn't really seem to be a big deal for the first 24 hours of the story. And Gavin was somewhat perturbed by that. And I thought, man, I guess we're just in football season and people just don't care. But as this has gone along for about a week now, approximately, the story keeps picking up momentum. Isn't it weird that how the story, when it broke, wasn't that big of a deal for 24 to 48 hours? And as it's kind of sat there, the story has picked up some of its pace. And then the Houston Astros, obviously another somewhat of a bombshell, was broke yesterday with them asking the scouts to video camera the coaches.
And their very own commemorative DVD is one of the things that's selling them out, which I think is truly incredible. Oh, are we sure they did it? Yeah, check their DVD. It absolutely incriminates them.
Is it Jose Altuve walking up the steps and they're kind of taking down that video?
Yes, but it's right
the TV,
there.
They're taking down the television.
The other thing, too, though, is like, I think we see a guy that has, I don't know, some stuff smeared on his neck. A guy that has, you know, something in his glove. And Mike, you've said this before, because I Tolo all the time. Hey, my manager's probably not calling out that guy because I might have a guy that's probably doing the same thing and I don't want them to call out me. And maybe that's an unwritten rule. Like maybe, and in the unwritten rules in baseball, you know, I think supersede any other sport.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you're just supposed to abide by. And in baseball, it seems like even if this is going on, maybe a bunch of other teams are doing it. Maybe it's not that bad of a deal.
That's what Houston has to hope for because they need to start. If they know of other teams that were doing this, they need to start ratting out those other teams to the commissioner. If they feel like the commissioner is going to come down hard and say, hey, AJ Hinch cannot manage next season. Your general manager cannot general manage next season. You know, stuff like this, you're going to lose 5 first round draft picks, or you're going to lose a lot of things. We don't know exactly what the punishment could be, but if Houston starts getting an idea of how bad the punishment could possibly be, and they know of, let's just say, 8 to 12 other teams, let's just say a third, maybe even up to half of the league was doing similar things, they need to start telling on those people. Because if we find out, I'll just throw this back to you guys, if we find out a third or a half of the league was doing similar things that the Houston Astros were doing, do you think that it will be that big of a penalty for the Houston Astros?
No. Everyone will be like, they just executed it better.
I'll also ask why we didn't have more winning teams if that was the case. Like, why were so many teams so bad this year if they were cheating? Were they just cheating worse?
Well, then, okay. Then the flip side is, I mean, yes. But the flip side is, what if you find out, like, they claim this and that and none of that can be corroborated? Yeah. It's just them. Do you think that will be some sort of logical outcome, like Hinch and the GM out for a year, lose 5 first round draft picks, get fined $20 million? Because you essentially, like, if that's the case and nobody else did it, make no mistake about it, if that's the case, The Astros straight up cheated their way to a championship that will always be intact. Would they dare say there's no champion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it'll go down a little bit like the record I gave up, is that Barry Bonds is the home run king. Now, that was done over a 20-year period, not one season. And the 73 home runs that he has in 1 year is the record. And we just look at Barry Bonds as, yes, those are the records. It is what it is. But we as a fan of Major League Baseball somewhat shun Barry Bonds' records. Whether that's right or wrong, the majority of people don't look at Barry Bonds as a home run king, as a big-time Hall of Famer. And there are Barry Bonds fans that do. And so I think if the Houston Astros are the only team that did this in 2017, and we can't prove that anybody came anywhere close to the cameras that they had and the stuff that they had in the dugout and the relaying of signs that they had, Houston will be the champions. There's nothing we can do to somewhat take that away. But I think as a fan of baseball, unless you're a Houston Astros fan, you're going to look at that championship as one of the tainted championships Absolutely. In the history of baseball. Look, nobody's old enough to remember the Black Sox.
Right.
Was it 1919? I'm not
Correct.
Even sure what
it
year
was.
It was
1919. Okay.
Was it the Reds who won the championship?
That I don't actually
right.
know.
I mean, but they are considered the champs of baseball. If we go back in the history, whoever the Black Sox threw the World Series to, they are the champs. Should they be the champs? I don't know. They weren't the ones that
it
cheated.
It was the Reds.
But so when it comes to stuff like that, I think we'll look at it as the Astros have a World Series championship, but for the majority of baseball fans, we will see that as maybe not the real champs of baseball.
I'm more interested, Kevin, in like if Manfred's sitting there and all the teams say, yeah, we all were. Or they find out that enough teams were, and what his decision is going to be then.
Is it,
because if you're the commissioner of baseball, do you have to clean it up, or you just say, hey man, we had more home runs than we've ever had. This was actually exciting. Was it exciting? Because did you get a decline, or did you get an incline in people showing up to your stadiums and your ratings and everything?
Man, they declined, and I was kind of curious about that, because at least when it happened before and you quickly found out, oh, everybody is doing this, that it led to an explosion in the ratings at a time when people thought baseball would not rebound. Like, not that they would just disappear,
right.
but a lot of people thought they would not rebound from the 94 strike. And Cal Ripken had something to do with that, but also so did Soso McGuire.
Yeah.
And
is it Kevin Costner?
Yes. Okay. And that was huge for the ratings. It has not been huge for the ratings this go around.
Well, and I don't think a lot of teams were doing it, just my opinion. Here's why I think. Mike Fiers has played for two different teams since then. Now, they have put in stricter rules on cameras in the outfield. From foul pole to foul pole, a team is not allowed to have any cameras in the outfield from foul pole to foul pole doing anything. I don't think that was the rule in 2017. There was a rule that you cannot use any technology to steal signs. It was a very general rule.
Okay.
Obviously, that was the main rule they broke. And then they got a little bit more specific, saying no more cameras from foul pole to foul pole because I guess that they had heard that teams were doing this. But Mike Fiers' teams that he played for, it didn't seem that he moved on from, didn't seem to be doing it, because then he would know that it was a big thing going on, not just with this 2017 Astros. The Yankees complained about whistling in the dugout from the Houston Astros. And so if the Yankees were complaining that a team was possibly stealing signs through technology, then that would mean most likely the Yankees weren't doing it, because the Yankees wouldn't start complaining, just like the pine tar stuff, that most pitchers have pine tar on their fingers for better grip on the baseball. Teams aren't going to complain about that because they know their pitchers do it too. So if you're doing it, you're not going to complain and say, hey, it's just part of the game now. But we know that the Yankees complained about it, and I believed the Red Sox might have complained about it. I can't remember the teams that played in the playoffs that somewhat complained about the Astros possibly stealing signs with not knowing absolutely how they were doing it.
Now, Kevin, we know for a fact that there are MLB teams that would love to have our kiosk system built into their stadiums.
With the betting, yeah.
They would love the ability. Mike, we have an idea. If you put a kiosk out there, a couple kiosks, that people can just go up in real time and make bets and just kind of create their
own. Like McDonald's next door.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Customize their bets as well. Like, you roll up and you're like, what kind of odds can I get on 3 home runs for Gallo tonight?
I think that would be tremendous for the game of baseball, because it is a little bit of a slower game where there is 15 to 25 seconds in between pitches. And so you could have that time. Obviously, there's a minute 30 to 2 minutes in between innings, so you could have that time to try to place bets while you get up and go to the restroom or grab a beer.
Does cheating then, like, does that change that then? Does that change the credibility of the gambling?
I think there's always an inherent concern that that's the element that you roll in with the gambling. I think we're far enough beyond those days that enough people would, like, be able to stop that. But also, what if you only made it available at the park? And that's the thing that I want to do, because then I think that would drive attendance.
That is a great idea. Now, I do know this, and I'm sorry because I kind of work for them. Who did Fox Sports get bought by? Sinclair?
Yes.
Okay, Sinclair.
But I don't know if it was all Fox Sports. I thought it was like some of the regional networks, but not all of them.
I believe they bought Fox Sports Southwest. Okay. And I remember reading an article as they were purchasing a lot of Fox Sports programming that they thought the reason they wanted to buy it and they thought it could grow and grow tremendously is they wanted to put betting lines on the game. So as you're seeing all the stats and everything going up, it also has on the TV screen right now four different things that would say strikeout, walk, hit, double, and you could have odds between pitches, and you have an app on your phone that is keeping you interested in every pitch, every at bat, because you could be betting a dollar to, you know, $100 per pitch / per at bat, per inning, whatever they could have up there is odds quickly going on the television screen that you could bet on. But if you wanted to do it just at the game, then, you know, that would make you say, well, look, if I want to have really a lot of fun watching this game, or at least more entertainment watching this game, then I have to be at the game to bet.
Whatever happened to the good old days of just taking the scorebook with you and keeping score? Like that, well, that was fun, Kevin. Hey, now we have to gamble our lives away.
Look, I started that with my son, and we got him a scorebook because he said from now on he wanted to keep the score at all the games. But let's face it, that's an anomaly. The TV ratings tell you that. The live attendance tells you that. That's just the world that you live in. I'm sorry that things are changing, Corey. I don't know what to tell you.
So many things while the game's going on that you can kind of be doing. Checking your email, paying bills. Like, there's so many things that now you can do that 30 years ago
that you
with
could,
no internet. It was, if you're at the game or the game was on television, that was, you had to change the channel if you wanted other entertainment or go outside and do something.
I had a conversation with John Blake at Fanniversary, and one of the things that he talked about the new park is you have to be focused on some other elements too, because it is a hard thing to ask to keep someone's attention for 3 to 4 hours, because we started the conversation by kind of lamenting about how late and how long the World Series games were going. And his general takeaway, and this is, I think a lot of baseball people agree with this, it is hard to just keep someone's attention for 3.5 consecutive hours or even 3 hours. And that's why they're trying to cut down the time of the game.
The best way for me to watch the playoffs this year, and I watched a lot of it, but I would always start it an hour to an hour and a half late.
So you could fast
forward.
Without
being on social media, so I could watch the pitch and just hit 20 seconds. You know, now, like, I can remember, Zach Greinke is a 10-second guy. I can't, if I hit the 20-second, I would miss some pitches. But, like, Verlander,
is
Garrett
that what
Cole.
His wife told you?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes. I could hit the 20-second button and know that I was going to be just fine with now the pitch will happen in 2 to 3 seconds. But to me, I loved watching it that way. And then I would get to about the 6th inning, or maybe even the 7th inning, sometimes a slower game, the 5th. And then I would be to the live action. And
wow.
I'm like, well, hey.
The win that's real dramatic, too.
Yeah, I just, within an hour and a half, watched the first 6 innings of this baseball game with really not much interruption.
Kevin, did you see that Nelson Cruz is trending on Twitter this morning? Did you guys see that?
Oh, no. Did he test positive again?
At Cut 4 posted, in 5 words or less, hit us with the most painful memory of your baseball fandom. And
I
lots
hate
of people,
you, so much,
you know,
for this
Nelson
story.
Cruz forgot to jump. You know, so all sorts of Nelson Cruz in left field, Nelson Cruz in game 6.
When's that 30 for 30 coming out? Because the Nelson Cruz play was far more important than the Bill Buckner play, but people trip over themselves like that was anywhere near as consequential as what happened with Nelson Cruz.
I guess
because
it was a line drive. It wasn't just a pop-up.
But still, that game was going to go to extra innings. That wasn't the end of the World Series or anything like that. Ours would have been. upon ESPN.
I just want to point out.
No, I don't want to hear any more about Twitter that. You absolutely brought it up.
I was just here to
deliver
information.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Thanks,
coming
Mike.
Up next, lists all the reasons you want to punch Corey. But also, a story so amazing you might actually care about golf. And peace-a-thon information for people that have been asking. All of that next right here on The Fan.
Guys, don't forget this Thursday we're going to be at the Eagle's Nest from 10 to 2. We would love to see everybody out there with us, hanging out, partying. We love midday parties, so we hope you can enjoy lunchtime with us. They got some fantastic fried pickles that I love to get down on, so I want y'all to come out there and get down on those fried pickles with us. And some beers if you want to take that part of your day and enjoy it. Guys, I saw this story last night, and I am rooting for Brandon Matthews, and I'm going to get to his audio in just a moment. But before we do, Kevin, Jerry Jones, let's do a quick radio rewind with Sean and RJ this morning. He was on, and he was asked about Zeke's recent performance.
They are not consistently stacking the box. And so to the degree, and everything is degree, the numbers of plays, what they're doing with some of the nuances of their run attack. That is more intense than it has been the last three or four games. That's more intense than it has been in the past.
So I think that, you know, we talked with Travis Frederick. We've talked with Jerry. We've talked with all the guys about it. And they feel like that the opponents are making a very big statement of, we don't want you to run. The Cowboys then also, in turn, make those opportunities available. And you'll talk with Jeff Kavanaugh in just a little bit about this as the G-Bag Nation is coming up soon. The Cowboys invite more defenders and invite those opportunities instead of saying, you know what, we'll run out of anything, especially if it's spread out wide, because we need to create more space for, you know, I always talked about this with Monte Ellis, one of his best seasons. Who's he playing with? Dirk.
Yeah.
Why? Because Dirk creates space for guys. So maybe, just maybe, spreading out your offense a little bit allows you to have the space that you need in order to really have an effective run game and be dynamic to the point of, what are they doing? When they're in this kind of personnel, does this create more opportunities even in the run game? Because we don't have to just load up and power up. Old Plano High School football, 2 yards in a cloud of dust, right, Shippy?
Yeah, Wildcat way.
I think, good night. I think the thing that's exciting about this is now when you feel like they roll out that tactic, you can destroy them on it because Dak's slinging the ball around so well. But if people decide to drop back and they're like, all right, well, we're going to fight the pass now, then hopefully you give Zeke a chance to shine and show that he's still a top five, top three running back in the league, when right now I think he's the fringe top five.
Yeah, keep passing so that your play action can set up the draw play. That's what I'm looking forward to, Kevin, the 40-yard draw run in the future from Ezekiel.
Man, any 40-yard play that the Cowboys offense gets and doesn't give up because we missed three tackles, I'm fine with that.
Do you know who Brandon Matthews is, Kevin?
Absolutely not.
He missed a putt in a playoff of the PGA Tour LA event.
When he hosts a golf show on here every once in a while.
Really? No, that's Tim Matthews. I appreciate you, though. That is Sunday morning.
I know who that
believe,
is. I tried.
Fantastic music from Tim Matthews' show. when a fan yelled in his backswing, Brandon Matthews, and it cost him the win and a spot in the Open. But he learned later that the fan had Down syndrome.
Oh.
And so he immediately asked to meet him. This is what he had to say after that.
Listen, he was a middle-aged man with a mental disability. And he said something, got excited. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, the guy was out there. He was enjoying it. I feel for the guy, because I'm sure he felt terrible. That's why I went and gave him a glove and a ball afterwards and gave him a hug. It's just one of those things that happen.
And so after the game, after that tournament, he was like, hey, I want to meet him. I want to give him a glove. I want to give him a ball. I want to give him a hug. Because even though that was a big moment that I just lost out on, I can definitely make my putts whenever I need to anyway from now on. But sometimes life, there are things in life that are just bigger than golf. I love that, man.
And I really do appreciate that, because that was a huge moment. And I can see how anybody would be like, well, it still cost me, or I'm still upset, or this was my chance to do this or that. I appreciate that he instantly was like, hey, can I meet him? Can I talk with him? I thought that was, I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And personally, we appreciate those things a lot. Every year for what, the last 6 years now, Kevin, we've worked with My Possibilities. And so this year we're doing it again. Shippy's going to be here. Anybody that's been interested in knowing how we're going to handle Peace-a-thon this year, we will open up the bidding early in the morning. We got some fantastic items that we put together. There's going to be an opportunity to bid on it on the 105.3thefan.com website. And I'm looking forward to being able to do this in a different manner than we've ever done it before. But we'll start there in the morning at 5:30 with Sean and RJ, yep, auctioning all the items. During the day, Kevin, from 10 to 2, you and I are going to be on with Shippy as well. And we're going to be pouring out as many guests as we can. We're bringing in a bunch of big-name guests. I think Flula is going to join us again. I'm looking forward to Flula talking with us. The possibility of maybe the president of the world joining us, Kevin.
Yeah. What if I told you also, soccer fans, there'd be a soccer interview you will never forget?
You'll have to catch it. You're absolutely going to have to catch that. So, but what My Possibilities does, Kevin, is they are a Plano-based nonprofit that serves a pioneering leader in vocational education and job placement for adults with intellectual development disabilities throughout North Texas. They create jobs. They create the skills. They help the students with skills. Whenever you get done with high school, not everybody gets to go off to college. Sometimes they have an injury. Sometimes they get in a wreck.
Right.
That changes their lives. And MP is changing the landscape of adults with IDD. So we're really proud of what we've done the last 6 years. We've raised more money every single year. Now we have a bigger platform, I think, with the entire station at our side. And the entire Tolo group can run along with us and do this thing too. And that's why with Brandon Matthews, I'm rooting for that dude. I'm going to reach out to him and see if he wants to hop on.
That'd be awesome.
Chat with this, because I'm rooting for that dude from now on.
And we'll do the same thing we've done in the past, where if the auctioning gets too high, anybody who donates $20 or more to My Possibilities, you can come up and hang out and come see a show with us. But for people who are curious, the autograph items, do you want me to tell you some of the stuff I got? All right, these are the things we've got so far. We will be auctioning all of these off a week from tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving. Hunter Pence autographed baseball. A Mike Minor autograph baseball, a Pudge Rodriguez autograph baseball, a 2019-2020 Dallas Mavericks autograph team basketball. So that's got Luka on it. That's got Kristaps on it as well. A signed FC Dallas 2019 team soccer ball that also comes with 4 tickets to an FC Dallas match. I'm working on a Mesquite Outlaws experience. Remember when we had Tattoo on? Trying to get a tattoo autographed soccer ball. That would be super cool. And we also have a 2018 Dallas Cowboys autographed team signed football that comes with 2 tickets to the Cowboys-Redskins game, a parking pass, and 2 pregame sideline passes to hang out and watch warmups. And then also just procured this yesterday, a signed Luka Doncic jersey.
Nice.
And
somebody said from the 972, so no overnight KNC this year. We're going to go until midnight because we're going to come back and we're going to start after the Cowboys hour, the happy hour, and we'll just keep going until midnight. Hopefully we'll have lots of shenanigans and fun in the evening as well. And we got some plans for some shenanigans in the afternoon if the boss will let us do shenanigans. What do you think?
Oh,
you think he'll let us do shenanigans?
Maybe.
All right, maybe so. Shippy, what do you think about shenanigans?
Oh, I love shenanigans.
What? That's not the word I just said, Shippy.
That's somebody different.
That is
somebody completely different.
By the way, I just saw the VIP all-inclusive tickets, Kevin, for Gronk Beach.
Oh, my God.
Tickets in Tier 1, Shippy.
Let's go.
$499.99.
Rick Ross.
Tier 2, $599. Tier 3, $799. And Tier 4, $899.
Okay, I'm getting my piggy bank out.
No, hold on. That price structure is stupid. How is Tier 1 not the best?
You need to know what the access is. The VIP all-inclusive tickets include access to Gronk Beach from 1 to 7, access to Gronk's VIP clubhouse and balcony overlooking the main stage, air-conditioned lounge with comfortable seating, expedited VIP-only fast-track entrance, 6-hour open bar with spirits and all sorts of stuff, unlimited bites, including steakhouse and salty donut, and then dedicated VIP-only upscale restroom.
You guys think Belichick's going to go to this?
I... I'll tell you what.
The all-inclusive.
I'll spring for tier one if Belichick's going to be hanging out at Gronk Beach. Then I'm in.
The non-VIP tickets only
include. Media passes for that?
Include access, six-hour open bar, and bites. That's it. Other than that, you don't get to be on the balcony for the main stage.
I will admit this. The open bar at the Gronk thing is going to be incredible. I'll admit that. I'm not even a drinker, but I will admit that that would be incredible. By the way, since we threw out we have both a team signed Mavericks ball and a Luka autographed authenticated Dallas Mavericks jersey. He had a triple double last night, scored 42 points. He is just the second player under the age of 21 to have a 40-plus point triple-double, before turning 21. And you can throw that with LeBron James. That's it. Those are the only two. No player 20 or younger has ever averaged more points than Luka. No player 20 or younger has averaged more assists than Luka. And the only players 20 or younger to average more rebounds are Shaq, Andre Drummond, and Dwight Howard.
All right.
So one of those is good.
We're doing great. Wait, come on, man. I don't even take shots at everybody. Luka's great. And you're sitting here saying he's a fringe 90 player.
That is most certainly not what I'm saying at all.
Kevin, I did want to play some audio that I think is hilarious, and we need to judge this man. 877-881-1053. Will you help us judge him, whether he's lying or not? The Bengals are the NFL's lone winless team.
Correct.
They're 0-10. And Cincinnati restaurant owner Jeff Lanham, he owns the Hog Rock Cafe, and he made a bet with a bar patron before the Bengals' Week 5 loss to the Cardinals. He said if the Bengals lost to the Arizona Cardinals, he would live on the roof of his restaurant until the Bengals won a game. Well, Kevin, it's been 5 weeks, and he is living on the roof of his restaurant. He's got it set up pretty nice. Like, it's a pretty nice setup up there. But here, I want to hear if you guys think that this dude's lying or not.
It's a typical Sunday at Hog Rock Cafe. There's music, plenty of food, and of course, football. But with another Bengals loss, Jeff Lanham will be spending at least another week camping out on his restaurant's roof.
It's crazy, I know. And I'm stuck in it, and I can't get out of it now. Like, I'm stuck.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no way out.
It began jokingly as a bar bet.
My wife was ignoring me, and I'm like, I'll pull a wild man Walker.
If the Bengals, then 0-5, lose to the Arizona Cardinals, Lanham would sleep on the roof until they win. The Bengals, now 0-9, and Lanham is keeping his word.
It's so boring, man. That's probably it. It's like you get bored to death. During the day, you can't do nothing, can't go nowhere. You just sit here.
Before Sunday's game against Baltimore, Lanham's wife and friends tailgate while Jeff watches from his tent.
Every Sunday, I've always said, I've never, prayed to win a game just because I know there's far more important things to pray for. But, the last couple weeks I'm praying, please let us win so Jeff can come down.
After a month, the tent is becoming home. He's got shelves of keepsakes, snacks, and a 50-inch TV. While he's got it all in this outdoor man cave, so to speak, he says one thing is missing.
I hate not being around my family. That's probably the worst part, not being around the family, stuff like that. But I'm going to stick with my word, and eventually they have to win.
There it is, man. That's the part that he's lying about, right? Like, he says his family can't come up there and live with him.
Plus, he's like the reverse Urban Meyer.
What do you mean?
He actually misses his family.
He's set up so he can get away from his family, dude.
He said eventually they have to win. He's going to live there in the offseason?
They can go all defeated this year,
man. Yeah, teams have not won before.
Yeah. They host the Steelers. Man, that Jets game that they host in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
That might be the spot. Then they're at the Browns, host the Patriots, at the Dolphins. That's another one that they could win. But
wow.
They probably only have two, maybe three of those last six games that they could legitimately win.
From the 904, he's lying, and he's a restaurant. His restaurant name is washed. That's kind of weird. And then somebody says, I'll stay on that roof for fun just to get away from the family. So a lot of people think he's lying, Kevin. I agree.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with the G-Bag Nation, maybe a little bit more Luka, and see what's coming up on their fine program. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.